The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're not just looking at one path, but more like a whole blueprint for living well.
That's right. We're diving into Dana Perino's book, I Wish Someone Had Told Me.
And it's this really interesting mix, isn't it? High level, White House kind of strategy meets really personal life planning.
Exactly. It's definitely more than just, you know, career tips or retirement advice. Think of it as, well, like having two mentors in one.
Two mentors? How so?
Well, one guiding you through those really demanding professional moments. I mean, she went from Wyoming to the White House, right?
Yeah.
High pressure.
Right.
And the other mentor helps you actually design a fulfilling second half of life intentionally.
Okay, I like that, because life often feels messy, full of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess our mission today is to figure out how to answer that big, stressful question. How do I make good choices when I don't even know what I don't know?
Yeah, let's try and swap some of that guesswork for actual preparation.
Okay, so Dana Perino. To really get why her advice hits home, you need to know where she's coming from.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So she was the 26th White House press secretary. That was under President George W. Bush.
And only the second woman ever in that role, which is huge.
It really is. I mean, imagine being the voice of the U.S. government during things like the 2008 financial crisis. Talk about pressure.
Seriously. So her authority isn't just theoretical, it's earned.
Precisely. It's not academic theory. It's wisdom won from being in the trenches, making high-stakes decisions.
And she's still applying it now, right? Navigating her own second half, which we see publicly as a commentator co-hosting The Five.
Exactly. That makes her perspective quite unique. She's not looking back from decades ago. She's in it, offering contemporary insight.
So she's kind of synthesizing lessons from the top presidents, CEOs, and making them actionable for the rest of us.
That's a great way to put it. Accessible, relatable advice based on what she's seen work in the real world.
So the book itself, yeah. What's the main goal?
I think the core idea is to help you trade that anxiety we all feel about big transitions, career changes, getting older, health stuff, for a sense of control, optimism even.
Like getting the foresight you wish you'd had years ago. Proactive, not reactive.
Exactly. And if you boil it down, there are really two big ideas woven together.
Okay.
First, the career side. Success hinges on, well, relentless preparation, always being curious and learning, and building what she calls relationship capital.
Relationship capital. Okay, we'll circle back to that. So preparation means opportunities come to you.
That's the idea. Be ready. And the second big idea, which feels like the real heart of it,
yeah,
is about consciously designing the second half of your life.
Yeah.
She argues that from your late 40s on, it's this vital, expansive chapter. But it needs a plan.
And that plan involves?
The five Fs.
The five Fs. Five finances, fitness, family, friends, and faith. That's the framework for intentional planning. It sounds very logical. Start with basics like mindset, then career moves, and finally, the big picture purpose after the main career push.
Mm-hmm. It flows really well.
Okay, let's dig into the details then. Starting with that preparation piece, chapter one, the power of preparation.
Right. And she doesn't just mean being prepared. She argues for over-preparation. That's her secret weapon.
Over-preparation. So not just knowing the material, but anticipating everything.
Pretty much. Anticipating the unexpected.
Yeah.
It's how you build confidence and dial down the anxiety in those high-pressure situations.
Like the White House briefing room example she gives.
Exactly. You can't control the questions, but you can control your response. She even had staff play worst-case scenario reporter to drill answers.
Wow. That's intense, but it builds discipline, like a shield.
It becomes your shield, yeah. And this ties directly into reputation.
Ah, reputation. Takes years to build, seconds to destroy.
True. But she adds a crucial layer. If you mess up, but stay consistent and act with integrity afterward, you can rebuild it. It takes time, but it's possible. It acknowledges mistakes, but champions resilience.
That feels realistic. Okay, so how does this career prep link to planning for later life?
It connects directly through financial readiness. This is where she introduces that great concept, the Serenity Now number.
Serenity Now. Okay, Seinfeld fans will get that. But for finance, that's clever.
It is, because it takes saving money from this big, scary, vague thing.
Right, like save for retirement.
And makes it a concrete goal. Yeah. Something you can actually calculate and aim for. Less terrifying.
So the Serenity Now number is the exact amount you need to live without constantly worrying about money.
Precisely. You figure out the lifestyle you want, account for things like inflation, and work out the specific number.
Why is that number so crucial?
Because without that basic financial security, she argues, all your other goals, health, relationships, finding purpose, they're built on shaky ground. It compromises everything else.
So you have to face the financial stuff head on. Debt, savings. See, money is a tool for freedom, not just stress.
Yes, intentional action, not just wishing things were different.
And that intentionality carries over into relationships, too. You mentioned relationship capital.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't your typical networking. She kind of dismisses that transactional approach, just collecting contacts.
Okay.
Her focus is on building genuine relationships, investing in people you actually care about, where there's mutual support, creating real long-term value. It's about building a support system, not just a contact list.
That feels more authentic.
Yep.
And does this apply to family and friends, too? The other Fs?
Absolutely. Yeah. She's surprisingly frank about, say, the empty nest phase, how couples need to intentionally reconnect, find shared goals again after kids leave.
That makes sense. And friends.
It's about curation, investing your limited energy in friendships that uplift you, and maybe. Gently stepping back from those that consistently drain you. Quality over quantity.
That's hard advice, but probably necessary.
It is. And there's a really important section on the sandwich generation.
Oh, yeah. Caring for aging parents while maybe still supporting kids. That's tough.
Incredibly tough. And her advice here links back to preparation as an act of love. Have those difficult talks now.
About things like healthcare proxies, living wills.
Exactly. Financial plans, too. Putting it off just means dealing with a crisis later. It's kinder, ultimately, to prepare.
Okay, shifting focus a bit towards purpose later in life. She talks about continuous learning.
Yes, embracing continuous learning. It's vital for staying relevant. In a world changing so fast, being willing to learn a new skill, a new platform, that's more valuable than just relying on past wins.
The intellectual curiosity, does it feed into retirement?
Directly. It fuels what she calls the second act. And this is such an empowering idea.
The second act. So not just stopping work, but
having something meaningful to retire to, not just from. Maybe consulting, a new venture, mentoring, using all that experience to contribute in a new way.
Finding a new kind of purpose.
Exactly. Leveraging decades of wisdom for perhaps even greater fulfillment.
She uses President George W. Bush as an example, right?
She does. Post-presidency, he dove into painting, his foundation, mentoring. It shows purpose isn't just tied to your old job title or power. It can be redefined through contribution, creativity.
That really brings together the core messages, doesn't it?
It does. And maybe the biggest theme is proactive design over passive acceptance. You have to be the architect of that second half. Don't just let aging or career plateaus happen to you.
Take control. And that requires looking at everything together, the holistic well-being idea.
Absolutely. Those five Fs are interconnected. Neglect your fitness, for example.
And all the financial planning in the world doesn't matter if you don't have the energy to enjoy it.
Right. Your health is the engine.
Another theme that stood out was authentic professional development.
Mm-hmm. She strongly makes the case that you don't have to compromise your values to succeed, even at the highest levels. Integrity isn't a weakness. It's a source of strength. Builds trust.
And finally, drawing from her crisis management days, resilience through perspective.
Yeah. Remembering that neither huge successes nor big failures last forever. Keeping your balance through the ups and downs, that's key for long-term well-being.
Her advice really sticks because of how she phrases things, those memorable lines.
Definitely. Let's share a few of those core ideas.
Okay. I liked this one about taking control. Preparation is the great equalizer. You might not be the smartest person in the room, but you can be the most prepared. That feels empowering.
It really does. And reshaping how we think about networking. The best networking isn't networking at all. It's building genuine relationships with people you actually care about and want to help.
Mm-hmm.
Shifts it from taking to giving.
So true. And on health, summing up that holistic point. Your health is the engine of your life. All the money and plans in the world are useless if you don't have the physical and mental energy to enjoy them. Can't argue with that.
Nope. And one more, crucial for anyone wanting to grow. Learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because that's where growth happens. Stay in your comfort zone, you stay stagnant.
Okay, so putting this into practice, what are some immediate takeaways or actions?
We pulled out four. First, the financial piece, financial application. Actually schedule time to figure out your Serenity Now number. Turn that vague worry into a specific goal.
Stop avoiding it, basically. Okay, yeah. Professionally.
Professional application. Try that over-preparation technique. Before your next big meeting or pitch, think of the three toughest or most unexpected questions you might get. Prepare solid answers. You'll feel way more confident.
Instant confidence boost.
Okay.
And for relationships.
Relationship application. Gently start that conversation with aging parents or loved ones about their wishes, healthcare, living wills. Frame it like Perino does. Planning is an act of love.
Doing it for them, not to them. Got it. And growth.
Growth application. Two options here, reflecting her emphasis on continuous learning and contribution. Either find a younger person you can mentor, which keeps your skills sharp.
Right.
Or identify a key skill you lack and find someone any age who can mentor you. Keep learning.
I like that two-way street approach. Okay, final thoughts. What was most surprising or impactful for you from this deep dive?
For me, it was how smoothly she blends that intense West Wing level strategy with really practical, down-to-earth life advice. The common thread is always preparation controlling your response, whether it's a global crisis or just planning your future. That universality is impressive.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the biggest insight was reframing the second half of life. It's not a decline. It's a major project, one you actively build using all the wisdom you've gathered. It's about taking responsibility for defining your own purpose.
A manifesto for late life agency, really.
So maybe the final thought is this. The best investment isn't just money, it's knowledge. The knowledge that gives you freedom.
Whether that's knowing the facts for a press conference,
or knowing your Serenity Now number, it's about knowing what you need to move forward with confidence.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.